Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live with a Wednesday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us here on the Hoosier Report, the Big X Sports Radio. We do this weekdays, 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. A lot to get to today. We've got some great guests scheduled for the program today, so we're going to dive right into it right off the bat here. Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us here on this Wednesday show in segment two will be Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. We have not heard from Jeff in a number of weeks, but he'll make an appearance today on the radio program to catch up on a lot of IU basketball news and headlines out there. We're beginning to learn a little bit more about the schedule. Obviously, we've been talking with some of our guests recently about what the roster is shaping up to look like next year, and it's really a pretty solid roster. Everything looks pretty solid, except you want to make sure that Juwan Morgan is coming back like I think everyone thinks that he will. So that and more with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com when he is with us a little bit later in the program. And then in segment three today, Greg Mengelt of the News and Tribune sports team, the sports editor for the News and Tribune, will join us. A lot of stuff going on. A great baseball game that we'll talk about here in a few moments. New Albany and Silver Creek last night. Silver Creek upends New Albany 4-3. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the upcoming baseball sectionals. 1 week from today, we will have all kinds of opening round sectional action. On this Wednesday, a week out, we'll have New Albany and Seymour. That's a first-round game. We'll have Floyd Central taking on Bedford North Lawrence. That's another first-round game at the 4A sectional at Jeffersonville. We'll come back on Thursday. We'll bring in both of those first-round games from Providence, which will include Providence and Silver Creek. Of course, that's the big game right out of the gate in the 3A sectional, actually at Silver Creek. We'll also bring you the second game as well that includes Charlestown. We'll come back next Saturday, a week from this coming Saturday, and have the semifinals, both of those games from the 4A sectional at Jeffersonville, and then Memorial Day on that Monday, the 4A championship game at Jeffersonville as well. So a lot of baseball coming up. Again, New Albany, Jeff, and 4A, both challengers for that. Floyd Central's coming on late. That's going to add some intrigue to it, especially if New Albany and Floyd meet for a third time in the sectional semifinal round. Then you've got Jeffersonville, who's playing great baseball. They'll come out of the bye game. They take on Jennings County on Saturday. They've got a really easy path to the championship game. Lots of rest for some of their key pitchers, and obviously a date very likely for them on Monday of Memorial Day for the championship of that sectional. So it should be a lot of fun. Then in 3A, Silver Creek, Providence, they play right off the bat, as I mentioned. Either one of those teams that comes out of that game, if they can get through that sectional, which there could be some other roadblocks and challenges even beyond that game for whoever the winner is, I think that winner of that game could really make a run into the baseball state tournament in the 3A class, but we'll have to see. But a lot of baseball coming up. We'll recap all of it with Greg Mengelt today, preview all of it as well when he joins us a little bit later in the show. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Not a lot out there today. A couple things. First off, I told you yesterday that Demezi Anderson and Robert Phinisee would play in the Hoosiers Reunion All-Star Classic June 1st at Knightstown at the really neat historic Hoosiers gym there, that it's the gym used in the movie Hoosiers, with small confines, but an old-style gym that obviously is embedded to all of our minds here in Indiana that have watched the Hoosiers movie, I'm sure, so many times. I said that two of the IU guys from in-state would play. Obviously, Romeo's not on that list. I left out a local player, Luke Goman of Floyd Central, who had a great career, who's going to go on to play college basketball in Indianapolis at Marion. He's in that game, so a local interest on the boys' side in that game as well, joining two of the Indiana recruits, two of the Indiana signees in the 2018 class. Also, I mentioned a great baseball game last night. Silver Creek wins 4-3 over New Albany. New Albany was number 2 in 4A. They've slipped a little bit. They've lost to North Harrison. They've lost to Floyd Central. They also have lost to Silver Creek in recent weeks, hanging on in the top 10. They're still, again, number 2, pretty high ranking for the Bulldogs, but they lose another one last night on the road at Silver Creek. Final score, 4-3. I mean, again, two teams ranked in the top 5. Silver Creek, it's not like they're a slacker or anything. They were in the top 5, remain in the top 5 of the 3A poll. Both of these teams have 20-plus wins already this season, and it was a great game yesterday. The game was tied going into the seventh inning at 2-2. The Bulldogs scored on a Jonah Boone single to center, which drove in Jason Jeter, who was the runner for Zach Hubbard. Silver Creek responded very quickly with one out in the bottom of the seventh. Jack Hawkins drove a pitch from New Albany pitcher Chase Rudy over the left field fence, which tied the game. And then after a ground out, Sammy Barnett, who's an IU commit, got his second hit of the game, a single to left field. The next batter was hit. Bryce McNay was hit to bring up the next batter, Ryan Willer, and he hit a 2-0 fastball from Rudy into the gap in left center, which scored Andrew Baxter, who was running for Barnett. That was the winning run of the game. So a big win for Silver Creek. I always think that some of these games heading in, even though they don't matter for conferences or it's not a sectional opponent that you could see, I always think that a big game like that gives the opportunity for some momentum for a team like Silver Creek heading in, when they know, hey, we're not going to see New Albany or Jeff again. We are going to see Providence. They'll want a little revenge there after Providence got them pretty good a few weeks ago. But a game like that, to me, it's an important game because it's a momentum builder as you head into the postseason. I don't think there's any question about that. Also, a couple other local headlines, catching up on a few things that I had not mentioned. New Albany girls basketball has had two seniors recently make their college decisions that will go on to play small college basketball. Julian Condra has signed with Oakland City, and Savannah Pinkston will play at Spalding. So two New Albany Lady Bulldogs will play college basketball fairly locally, Oakland City out toward Evansville, and obviously Spalding across the river in Jeffersonville. Another girls basketball note, this really doesn't affect any of our local schools, but last night I saw that Angie Hinton, who was New Albany's girls basketball coach back when Kenitra Johnson played back, I guess that was 1999, when the team won a 4A state championship that year. And, of course, Joe Hinton, former Floyd Central coach, was her assistant. She landed the head coaching job at Lanesville, which is very interesting because they have been helping her and Joe as assistant coaches at North Harrison, who's had a really, really great run the last couple of years. They made it to the state championship game in 3A a couple times. They had so much success in the postseason that this final year, with that good group of girls coming through, North Harrison actually played up in 4A, the same sectional as New Albany, based on the success formula that the IHSA has in postseason. Now Hinton will become a head coach again. She'll go to Lanesville, and I can only assume that that means the legendary Joe Hinton will continue to grace the sidelines as an assistant once again to Angie Hinton at Lanesville. I don't know much about girls basketball at Lanesville, but I have heard that they have some really good young talent coming up, which probably tells you why the Hintons eyeing the job. They seem to do really well building a program, taking girls from the middle school level into high school. And, of course, by the middle part to the end of their high school career, they are known to have some pretty good success. So that will be an interesting thing to follow. The Hintons back on the sideline. They have been all over Southern Indiana and have coached for many, many years together. And, of course, Joe Hinton goes all the way back to his days as Floyd Central's coach with his legendary years that he had there. So that's an interesting note as well. One other thing, IU baseball last night got a big win. This is the second year in a row that Indiana has scored a late season victory over Louisville. And again, just like New Albany, Silver Creek, and high school ball, this game has no impact on, you know, the Big Ten Conference or really on postseason, to be quite honest with you. I guess a win over a quality program at this point does help you. Both teams should get in the regional, but I don't think either will be one or two seeds. But Indiana wins 9-5. The game was tied. It went into extra innings. Indiana scored 6 runs in the top of the 10th inning. Louisville had 2, but it wasn't enough as Indiana wins 9-5. The Hoosiers had 9 runs on 12 hits. No errors in the game for Indiana. Louisville finishes 5 runs, 10 hits, and 2 errors in the contest. The winning pitcher was Tommy Sommer last night for Indiana, who is now just 2-0 on the season. Indiana is ranked number 19, and again, that was their final road game of the regular season last night, playing across the river at Jim Patterson Stadium. That game was originally scheduled for 6 o'clock, 6:05 actually, and it was bumped up last night to a 5 o'clock first pitch in that contest. So some interesting game there. Again, one of those late season games that can give you momentum, you know, to get a win over a good Louisville baseball program. And again, that's a big game for recruiting purposes as well. Chris Lemonis, a former coach and assistant coach at Louisville. A lot of players, as we always talk about in the spring and summer months, from Southern Indiana that have college potential abilities. A number of players from Southern Indiana have went on to play at Louisville, and a lesser number of players have went on to play at Indiana. Obviously, this part of the state is an area that Lemonis, from his time at Louisville and now as the head coach at IU, very, very familiar with. And so to win against Louisville, who consistently gets some of the top players from this area, is a big deal from recruiting side of things, especially for the second straight year, no question about that. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. A couple things here. A reminder that the Big X Sports Radio golf card, hot off the presses. You can play Chariot Run, Polo Fields, Woodhaven Country Club, South Park Country Club, Henry County Country Club, Elk Run Valley View, and Christmas Lake in Santa Claus, Indiana. You can play these great courses for under $20 per round if you've got the Big X Sports Radio golf card. Some of these courses are private. You're only going to get the chance to play them if you're a member of that course or if you've got the Big X Sports Radio golf card. Father's Day just around the corner, and I'm telling you, there's not many left. We're trying to get rid of the final inventory we have, so make sure you call BigXSportsRadio.com or call 812-725-1457 to make a purchase today. The headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Wednesday is a great day to stop by Hoopsters. You can buy 3 or 6 traditional or boneless wings, and when you buy those 3 or 6, you get 3 or 6 free at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. That is every Wednesday at Hoopsters. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. All kinds of IU basketball stuff coming your way next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on a Wednesday edition of the program. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is my guest. We're going to dig into some IU basketball here in this segment with Jeff. And, Jeff, it's great to have you back with us this week.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me back. Always a good time.
Jeff, let's talk a little bit about the roster for next season, since we have not really spoke with you since the commitment of Romeo Langford a couple Mondays back. Things really, I think, coming together between Langford, the addition of Evan Fitzner, the graduate transfer, now just waiting, kind of in holding mold over Juwan Morgan, waiting to see what he will do for next season. And I think everybody out there expects him to return to the college game, but when he makes that announcement that he will come back to Indiana, as we expect, that will be kind of the final thing hanging out there, at least to me, that will really allow you to think and investigate this roster thoroughly in the offseason.
Yeah, that's John Morgan's decision is the only thing left. And obviously, I think everybody here knows he declared for the NBA draft, which is a required step to even work out for NBA teams or to go to the NBA combine. Now, he did not get an NBA combine invite. They had a little over 60 people invited. Obviously, the NBA draft is 60 people. So if you don't get invited to the combine, you have a general sense of where teams see you. Now, you also get to take the second step and work out for NBA teams. And he has worked out for the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers, NBA sources have told us. And there's a couple other NBA teams that are exploring the option of bringing him in for workouts. At this point in time, no NBA team that I've talked to has him rated even anywhere near a spot they would consider drafting him. Now, again, all it takes is one NBA team to like you. It's kind of the George Hill example I like to throw out there. There were two teams that told George Hill, we're going to draft you in the first round if you're there. George believed him, put his name in, got drafted in the first round. But as of this point in time, there's no NBA team that I've talked to that says they have Juwan Morgan rated highly enough to draft him. So barring a change in that, I think it's pretty clear he is, you know, strongly the most likely scenario is he returns to Indiana. And at that point in time, yeah, then we've got a full set roster for IU.
Jeff, if a player, and this isn't even really about Juwan Morgan, but if a player decides to stay in the draft, doesn't get drafted, what are their options? Is the G League the option that makes the most sense in the immediate time being if you want to keep close and maybe become a two-way player going back and forth between the G League and the NBA perhaps? Is overseas, where I think money could be better than the G League, a strong option? And again, I don't want to alarm anybody here. I don't at all expect if Juwan Morgan doesn't get the feels that he wants for NBA that he'll come back to Indiana. I'm just curious what happens for a player.
Yeah.
We've seen some that have kept an agent that are a little bit surprising, still didn't get an invite to the combine. What could the future look like for those guys who, unlike Juwan, don't have that door open as long as they announce they're coming back by a certain date to retain their remaining eligibility in college basketball?
Right. The guys who stay in, don't get drafted, essentially have two main options. The G League, as you mentioned, which is basically staying domestically and being in the NBA's minor league system, or go overseas, where you are essentially a free agent who signs with an overseas team. There's a couple main differences. Like you mentioned, one usually is money. The G League is not going to, right now, there's no mechanism for the G League to become incredibly lucrative. If you are a player, you are in the G League to make some money, but your goal is to essentially be in the NBA's minor league system. And because of the way it works with call-ups, NBA franchises can call up players from the G League and put them on 10-day contracts, and then you get actual NBA minimum game checks. So over the course of 10 days, you're not going to make a ton of money. Probably going to make somewhere between 60 and 80 grand over those 10 days, depending upon number of games played. Obviously, NBA teams cannot call up players from overseas. You go overseas, you sign a contract, you play that season, you stay there, you live there, you know, you are in a different country probably than the one you grew up in, and, you know, learning a new language, everything like that. But the opportunity for a bigger payday is there. Now, with overseas, sometimes you hear people generally say, oh, you know, he's playing overseas. Well, that's kind of like saying he owns a car. Well, one guy might own a Pinto. One guy might own a Porsche. They both own cars. They're two completely different situations. So just because you hear the phrase overseas, don't assume it's all the same, because some of the leagues don't pay a lot. You know, maybe you're getting 30 grand, maybe 40 and some living expenses. But in some other leagues, you can make 60 to 80 right off the bat. And good former U.S. college players, if they stay overseas for a few years and under the right circumstances, you know, the money can climb. You do have to be a player who really fits the European game. You do have to be capable of living overseas for a number of years. But you can get up to 200 grand plus in a reasonable amount of time if you really fit what certain leagues really want. Some of the better leagues, you know, France, Italy, Israel, certainly some of the leagues in China with what they pay are really, really on the verge of maybe kind of changing the game a little bit on what players can make internationally if they're willing to go to China. But there are some good leagues. It takes some time most of the time. But if you're willing to be an international player and have a career, you can definitely make plenty of money. And you don't have to be great. You need to be good and you need to fit. But there are a number of guys I know who played high school basketball in the Indy metro area who have made a healthy amount of money playing overseas, including some who were not known college players, but they played overseas long enough. And, you know, I mean, several of them have come home with enough money when they're done. They bought their first house in cash. So it's not nothing. It may be off the grid, off the radar, but if you're willing to do it, you know, that is an option that can provide you some money during your playing career if you're interested in, you know, being overseas for, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 years, something like that.
Very interesting. We're talking with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com here on a Wednesday edition of the program. With Langford set for Indiana, with Fitzner set, with Juwan Morgan, we think probably in a situation where he will head back to Indiana as discussed. Let's get your views on the lineup, on the roster for next season. And I've got to tell you, I was reading some stuff this morning on Pigs.com, and I don't want to say I forget, but because in the offseason last year, the player I'm getting ready to talk about was probably the emerging player of the offseason last year with how much he improved his body in Deron Davis. I often forget about him, though, this year. I don't want to, and again, that's not a, obviously I know he's part of the team, but he doesn't stand out to me because he missed so much of the season as someone that I think about often when I think about Indiana and a potential starting lineup and who's going to mix and match with who for next season. But I think Indiana has a number of interesting weapons that you put Romeo Langford in the middle of that. You put a Juwan Morgan back with that group. You put a 6'10" Evan Fitzner with that group. And, of course, maybe some of the 2018 guys, some more ready to play from the get-go than others early in the season, but could be a very interesting mix of players. And I think could be a mix of players where a lot of different guys get some court time. Do you see that?
I do. Excuse me. I do. And I think there's several things that kind of jump off the page immediately to me. And again, we're talking about the roster and the lineup here in May. Got a whole rest of the summer to go. Guys are going to improve or not. You know, somebody could pass somebody else. But so we're talking about it here in May. But I think, you know, there are some really interesting things. One, Romeo Langford gives IU a clear go-to guy and what some assistant coaches call DNL guys, do not leave, meaning your rule on defense is wherever that guy is, you don't leave him. IU didn't really have that last year. They didn't have the one guy who just kind of scared the pants off the other team every second he's out there. Don't leave him, he can hit a three. Don't leave him, he can drive. IU had a bunch of guys out there last year who – Outside of Juwan Morgan for most of the second half, had guys you could kind of shade off of here and there, or who just didn't scare you that much in some areas. But now you've got a guy, you got a primary guy who commands defensive attention just by being on the court. So that helps. Romeo's going to get IU points. I do think the people that are saying, oh, Romeo's going to go in and get 20, 25 a game, I think that expectation is crazy. I think that's asking way too much. I mean, there have been some phenomenal players step into major college basketball and not average anything close to that. I mean, you know, Eric Gordon was, you know, a top five kind of player, and I think he averaged right around 19. So I think we need to be careful about, you know, expecting insane point productions from Romeo because he's going to get defensive attention. You know, the other team gets to play too. But I think Romeo's presence will – his ability will get IU points. His presence will change how IU is defended. Devontae Green has had a tremendous spring. I really think at this point in time he's the most likely starter in the backcourt alongside with Romeo. Based upon the way Juwan Morgan played, I don't think there's any question if he's back, he's a starter at IU. The one thing that's really going to be interesting with Juwan's game is he really benefited last year from being able to play the five as far as who he went against when he had the ball, when IU had the ball. Because when IU was on offense, a lot of times a bulkier five was defending Juwan Morgan. Morgan obviously is a little bit smaller in stature, but much quicker than most traditional fives. So Morgan was able to take them out to the three-point line, maybe even a step beyond, catch a pass, turn, face the basket. The other big is there. Juwan gets them going left to right. He can go around them. So he really benefited offensively from having a mismatch athletically that he was able to exploit. And Archie Miller, I thought, did a tremendous job putting Juwan in those positions at a pretty high rate. So I think now if IU has an actual center back, whether it's Evan Fitzner or Deron Davis healthy at the start of the year, I think Juwan Morgan is going to have to improve his game to the point he's productive against more traditional fours, especially some of the athletic fours that you see in the Big Ten. But certainly Juwan's going to be out there. And I think Justin Smith is another player to really keep an eye on because he started to emerge last year. You know, the first moment we saw from him probably was his 20-point game up at Minnesota. He had some other really good games after that. And certainly Zach McRoberts, you know, as a walk-on, you know, he started last year. I think he still has a chance to start because of all the things that he brings, the really heady plays, the intangibles, the hard work, the hustle, the tip rebounds, those kind of things. But when you look at it, Justin Smith simply is he just has more talent than Zach. And that's not to take anything away from Zach, but Justin Smith's just more talented. And there's a point at which the more talented guy usually overtakes, you know, the glue guy in a starting role. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen at the beginning of the year, but that's one of those things that, you know, you kind of look at and say, okay, you know, this is something to keep an eye on. And the other thing is, Indiana now has multiple guys who can handle the ball in the backcourt with the addition of Robert Phinisee. I just think Devontae Green, as an upperclassman, with the spring he's had, I think he's the most likely candidate to start. But Phinisee, as a freshman, is probably got a strong chance to be better than the other team's backup point guard. And Indiana last year didn't have a ton of situations where you say, okay, their backups are better than the other team's backups at the multiple positions, especially in the backcourt. And now I think IU has gotten to that point in time. Plus, beyond those guys, you've got insane front court depth. I mean, IU's got so many guys in the front court. I'm still trying to figure out how all of them get on the court in the same game. Because I ran into Race Thompson this summer, and he's completely changed his body. That guy's ready for major college basketball. And then you've got some other guys, obviously, with Jake Forrester coming in. Clifton Moore's now a sophomore. You got a lot of pieces, a lot of parts on that front line.
Yeah, you mentioned another name, Race Thompson. I mean, we all know he's there. He's had an opportunity to practice and be with the team for basically a season. His body has changed in a lot of great ways for the upcoming year where he'll actually be able to play in games. Just one of many guys that I think Indiana fans have the reason to be excited about. I want to ask you another question about the incoming guys for next season. I don't think there's any question, and I think it's slowly being found out, I guess is the word, when you interview Romeo or when you talk with Robert Phinisee, that there probably was a better connection between those two players than what we knew. There was a lot of talk about Darius Garland and Romeo, who, of course, Garland ended up at Vanderbilt much earlier than Romeo just before he made his college decision. But I think that it's clear that there's a pretty good relationship and that those guys are even communicating on a much more regular basis now that both are in the fold to be in Indiana here in just a month or two just down the road. With that being said, you mentioned Phinisee, another ball handler for Indiana. A lot of people that have seen him for McCutchen and in the summer months really like his game. And do you think he could be someone that gets a little bit of playing time his freshman year, or do you feel like he's a player that could come in and maybe, you know, take a very important role in handling the ball for this team right away?
You're talking about Phinisee?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, let me go back to your first point there, which I agree with 100%. And it's almost like that old quote. I think it's a Mark Twain quote. Maybe it's somebody else. And I know I'm not going to get the quote right, but it's something along the lines of, if you're my friend and I know you're my friend, I don't have to tell people you're my friend. And there was a little bit of that going on. And again, I know I screwed that quote up, but
no. It's
something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no question there was a really good connection between Phinisee and Romeo Langford. And the other thing I think Robert Finney deserves a lot of credit for was being Romeo's friend during all this and keeping his mouth shut publicly. You know, I mean, Robert Finney was not running around telling everybody, oh, I want him to come with me. If he doesn't come with me, I'm going to be mad. You know, he should do this. He should do that. And Robert Finney was around a lot, you know. I mean, I ran into him plenty of times, you know, and he's just like, you know, I'll do an interview with you when the season's over. I'll do an interview with you when the season's over. And he wasn't being like a jerk. He wasn't being aloof or standoffish. And it was kind of like a part of me was like, he's got something working here. Just, you know, so there's something going on here. And I was like, okay, we're going to start paying careful attention to this. But I do think Finney, but I also think Finney was genuine. In his friendship with Romeo. I don't think it was just about come play with me on the basketball court at IU. I think they were actual friends. And I think Romeo's comments, Tim Lankford's comments, after everything was announced on Monday, I think their comments clearly backed that up. They found Robert Finney to be a very genuine person. Now, as far as basketball goes, yeah, I think he plays a reasonable amount. I think it's really... I think one of the most difficult things in college basketball to do is to come in and start at the point guard spot. And the reason is you not only have to do your job well, you have to know what everybody else's job is, and you have to know all the plays from everybody's standpoint. You know, where are we trying to go? You know, if we're going to run a pin down and a curl, we're going to do this. You know, if we're, you know, all the little things, you know, defensively, okay, you know, are we going to blitz the screen or are we going to whip it? What are we doing? As a point guard, you've got to be really good. You've got to be incredibly about very high basketball IQ, and you've got to understand what everybody else is trying to do. And at the same time, you've got to be able to do all those things while the other team's got five guys in a different color jersey really coming after your butt because you're a freshman. I think it's tough. It can be done, but I think it's tough. That's why I think right now Devontae Green probably starts at the point guard spot. Now I think Finney plays plenty. But I do think Devontae most likely starts right now. Now, again, Tennessee's going to be on campus here second week of June, I think he told me. Middle of June, basically, maybe slightly before what you'd call the middle. So he's going to have a full summer. He'll have a full fall. But I think he's the kind of guy who plays incredibly well in the backup spot. And, again, sometimes you have opportunities to – help yourself as a team in games. If there are stretches where backups are on the court, if your backups are clearly better than the other team's backups, you know, you make a 5-6-7-0 run, an 8-3 run, a 10-2 run, what have you. You know, sometimes there are moments like that that can be very helpful in winning games. But I do think Finney plays a lot. But I think most likely right now, he's a guy who plays a lot coming off the bench. And he may get some spot starts here and there. But that's kind of like how I see it as we sit here in May.
Jeff Rabjohns, Peaks.com. Great stuff, Jeff. Glad to catch up with you again and look forward to talking with you again sometime very soon.
Matt, appreciate you having me on, as always, my friend. Have a great week. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Good stuff from Jeff Rabjohns about the Hoosiers for the 2018-19 season. So many different pieces and players that you can get excited about. Race Thompson, Deron Davis, those are two that, even though Deron was such a big key coming into the season last year and had some good games at times before he was injured and out for the season, you just have so many moving parts and pieces that I forget he's back sometime. I forget Race Thompson was in Bloomington for a great part of the season last year and had the chance to practice with the team and work out with the team. And obviously, he's been seen around campus a lot more than the other 2018 guys that aren't there yet, but his body has changed. And I tell you what, that's another interesting thing. Indiana is becoming a place where it's getting a reputation, and probably because of social media, when players arrive on campus, whether they're a freshman, whether they're someone that's an upperclassman that Archie Miller inherited or kept around when he took over, they're all improving their physiques and their bodies. And that's something that parents and high school coaches and AAU coaches like that I think will help Indiana and is a major selling point when they talk with someone like Romeo Lankford about preparing himself for the NBA and the nutrition and the diet. I know that a lot of schools have, all schools at this point have strength and conditioning coaches. I doubt that the smaller schools have strength and conditioning coaches dedicated just to the men's basketball program. like Indiana and some of the other high major schools do. But there's no question Cliff Marshall has been a big part of Archie Miller's success this far. I think it's probably is with recruiting as much as anything else. So we will head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We'll recap a big high school baseball game last night where Silver Creek defeats New Albany 4-3. We'll also take a look at the sectionals that are coming up here in 1 week from today. A lot of the first round games will be played. So we'll talk about all of that and more coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here, final segment on this Wednesday show. Greg Mengelt, News and Tribune sports editor, is in studio with me, and I've been pumping up and talking a lot about the baseball sectionals. 1 week from today, our coverage from Jeffersonville of some first-round games will begin, but there's a ton of other spring sports that are entering or already in their respective state tournaments, and we've had some things to note here in Southern Indiana.
Yeah, we start last night. Postseason began in earnest last night and continues today through until everything's over. So essentially the spring postseason is here. It started with a couple of track sectionals last night. New Albany had beaten Floyd in the Hoosier Hills Conference track meet, which was, you know, in my eyes, the way things have gone lately, a pretty big upset. New Albany carried by a couple of great athletes who were incredible last night. Mariah Grant won all the sprinting events, and Kelsey Taylor, basketball player, all the throwing events. But Floyd Central ended up coming up on top again, eighth year in a row, sectional champions. They won by 7.5 points over 16 events. Is incredibly close, and they were led by Corinne Cox in the hurdles and Faith Barba in the distance, and it was just incredibly close and exciting. Love covering track meet, big track meets like that. And at Jeff, Aaliyah Winford won four events, and Jeffersonville won their sectional pretty easily. And we got boys track sectionals on Thursday, and the tennis sectionals start tonight with a big one, Christian Academy against New Albany right off the bat. So, of course, at Jeff, we'll have Providence and Jeff on Friday. I think tomorrow a big one, Charlestown, which had won 12 matches in a row against Silver Creek, which wins that sectional every year, it seems. So, you know, before softball and baseball get going next week, we've got a lot of good tennis and track and going on right now, and we'll have all that coverage for you.
We went from wet, rainy weather, even some snow earlier in the spring, to the last couple days, what has felt like almost July weather, absolutely suffocating outside. So let's hope the weather maybe is somewhere in the middle of all that, reasonable spring weather to finish out the spring sports season.
Yeah, we just kind of skipped spring, didn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do talk some baseball. Last night, a big game, big night of baseball, IU Louisville at the college level, New Albany Silver Creek at the high school level. And I mentioned earlier that even though both of those games in their own regards have no meaning on the postseason or conference standings or anything like that, they are those late season momentum type games sure. that if you can win, I think give you some confidence and a boost. And that's what happened for Silver Creek last night, a very well-played game, a pitcher's duel, I heard someone describe it as, but a late home run from Silver Creek sparked some momentum for them, and they were able to go on and win it in the bottom of the seventh as the home team.
Sometimes it's hard to gauge exactly. You don't want to base your expectations of the postseason on regular season results because of pitching matchups and different motivations, you know, during the week. But last night it seemed like both teams threw a lot of their top pitchers and played their best lineups, and so for Silver Creek, that has to be a huge confidence boost. And I think for New Albany, you say, hey, It's just the game that we played in the regular season, like most teams do with most losses. But, you know, Silver Creek obviously is going to start their sectional against Providence. I wouldn't say it's the sectional championship in the first game, but it's whoever takes that is in the driver's seat for sure. For teams like Charlestown in that sectional who are really pretty good, North Harrison, which beat New Albany as well, they had to have loved that draw because that gives them a chance. And Charlestown probably won't have to see the winning team's best pitcher in the second round. So, but man, that's it's exciting when that draw comes out and you see Providence versus Silver Creek. I'm not sure the winner doesn't become the favorite to get to state. In fact, so that's going to be obviously the feature game for us right away.
Yeah, no question about it. I think the intriguing thing is if you look down through each of the classes, you got to start with 4A and 3A. You have teams that whoever can come out of that tough sectional, and I talk both about 4A and 3A, do have a chance, I think, to make a run into the state tournament, and I don't want to leave out Henryville as well. I know they're playing some big baseball. There's a potential New Albany-Henryville matchup forthcoming on Saturday night as part of the Stan Psycho Invitational if both of those teams win their earlier games on Saturday. But once again, really good baseball in Southern Indiana. A lot of college prospects, some already committed, some will make their decision soon. And on top of that, some teams that, again, if they can get through some tough local sectional fields, depending on who comes out and how it all shakes down, have a chance to make some runs, I think, into the regional. And definitely I would be shocked if we don't have one or two teams playing in the semi-state round from right here in our immediate area.
Sure, and another one, don't forget, just because they're 13-10, don't forget about Borden. They have a sectional that they will be unquestionably the best team. By far, I think, the biggest favorite in our area since Lanesville has moved up to 2A. And Lanesville has been to state the last 2 years and barely beat Borden both times. When you got a pitcher like Lucas McNew, I mean, he's a 4A pitcher in a Class A team. You're going to have a shot. You're going to have to probably get along without him in one regional game. And otherwise, he'll be pitching the whole way to, you know, the rest of the way in the tournament. So I see Jeffersonville right now as the favorite in 4A. I think they're the most balanced team, deepest roster, pitchers that probably scare you a little more than the other teams in that sectional. In 3A, I think, you know, that's a toss-up first game, and the winner inherits that mantle for sure. And you brought up Henryville in 2A. That sectional's crazy. I mean, there are literally five teams that can win that sectional. Clarksville got an incredibly good draw. They should be in the championship game, and they've got some really good pitchers too. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting postseason. And the postseason, I wrote a column a couple weeks ago. The regular season in the spring is not real exciting in a lot of ways. Like I talked about pitching matchups, and what does this game mean? But, man, the postseason is fantastic. These track sectionals are so much fun. And the tennis, it really gets fun starting in the regional. And then, of course, we have a state championship contender in tennis, too, with Providence. So, it's a lot of fun. You know, we got some good golf teams this year and some really good individual golfers. So it's going to be a lot of fun going forward in the spring, and we really look forward to this postseason.
Talking with Greg Mingelt, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. A lot of the things we talk about you can read at newsandtribune.com/sports and also follow Greg and the sports team on Twitter at News Trib Scores. One of the things, and I think you and I had this conversation, but I had spoken with some other coaches and people in the area back toward the end of the high school basketball season that, you know what, this could be a year of some real movement for coaches in the area, and it hasn't necessarily turned out to be that way. Providence, we knew, would come open with an interim coach this past season. I hear, think that they could be very close to an announcement for a coach coming up soon. But really, it hasn't been across the area, the immediate area, that much of a change. You'd have to go, I guess, out to Salem to find another boys basketball opening. I think the Christian Academy girls job remains open as of this date. But there's still some jobs open in Indianapolis. And, again, anytime you've got some big jobs open, Ben Davis was open, it is filled. Richmond was open in his field. You never know what one movement from this area can kind of cause a chain reaction to other jobs in the area. But hasn't been a very busy year for coaches making any movement, at least so far in our Clark Floyd County immediate area.
Yeah, well, we talked a couple of weeks ago. We completely expected there to be some movement, and just hasn't materialized. And that's a good thing. We've got a really good group of basketball coaches around us, and I'm not sure at this point why you'd want to move out of this area. I guess unless you didn't like competition, that'd be really the only reason, because this area has become, I don't know, the best two-county area. Maybe not Indianapolis because it's so big, but in Indiana, and I don't even think that's a question. So it's a great place to be a coach, great place to be a player, great place to be a reporter when it comes to basketball. Now, we have had a little bit of football, obviously, with Brian Gleason taking the Jeffersonville job, and very interesting move because that, you know, I think the day that I moved here in 2002, the first thing I heard was, man, that program's really got potential if someone can harness it. And Brian Gleason's harnessed it everywhere he's gone. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, for football, we've had a couple of moves, and I think a spot still left to be filled.
Yeah, absolutely. I would think sometime soon find out about Floyd Central football as well, because, again, practices coming up, two-a-days coming up, 7-on-7 scrimmages coming up this summer. That's a very important piece to the high school football season before the real thing gets here.
And someone's inheriting a really good job. Yeah, they lost a lot of seniors at Floyd, but their freshman JV teams were really good. People inside the sport tell me a couple of years from now they could have their best team ever. And so whoever takes that job is they're gonna probably have a winner right away.
Absolutely. Basketball, one other basketball topic. June, it's a big month for basketball teams in the area as well. There's a league that takes place Mondays and Wednesdays at Moore High School this year. Had formerly been Wagner High School. Tuesdays and Thursdays, that same league is at New Albany and some other area courts in southern Indiana. A lot of games played in June. Sometime, Romeo Langford, he never was with New Albany that I can remember in a summer league game in the month of June. He was always at camps and doing things on a national-type level. So, and other players miss, you know, injuries or other camps and opportunities that might be out there that they don't want to miss. And
other sports.
Yeah, most high school coaches, I think, pretty flexible about the June period, unlike the regular season, obviously. But when you think about June, this is probably one of the more intriguing Junes if you're a hardcore basketball fan that's going to – and in June we're going to have the coaches on and kind of get a summer preview of each team with the local coaches as summer league play is well underway in a few weeks. But this is an interesting June because – you know, we know New Albany loses Langford and East and has a lot coming back that's interesting but not proven in many regards. Jeffersonville, obviously coming back, has some young kids to add to the mix with returning players from next year. Trey Coleman, there's no player more exciting to watch and follow in this area as far as college potential goes than what he may be able to do over the next couple seasons for Jeffersonville. Floyd Central should still be very, very solid. They do lose a good group of key seniors, but they've got Kobe Barnes back and some other young players that I think will be ready to step up into key roles for the Highlanders. Providence will have a new coach soon. They will be in action, and the list goes on. So June is a time for guys like you and I, parents, coaches, maybe some hardcore fans that get out and watch the games on Tuesdays and Thursdays in New Albany, to get an early glance at what next season could look like. And there's no doubt that the area is going to look completely different next season than what it did the past season or two. But I still think we'll have some really good teams next season that will offer some. I think the New Albany, Floyd Central, Jeff games will continue to be very, very exciting, very, very competitive ball games, and hopefully, fingers crossed, attract very big crowds.
Well, that's exactly what I've been saying all along. I've never seen, in all the years of being a reporter, a season where so many seniors graduated, but there were so many sophomores who were going to be about to be juniors who were so good. Like, they're just ready to inherit this thing. And you know, and but I'd say even bigger than that is all the question marks and how is Floyd's JV team being so good going to translate to the varsity? Of course, you would think that it would translate very well, but we'll see. And Jeff, what pieces are they going to put around Coleman and Jones and you know, New Albany? Obviously, we know how what their depth of talent's like. But who's going to step up and be that star? And there are two or three really potential people to step into that role. Not that they're going to step into Romeo Langford or Sean East's role, but to step in the role as the scoring leader, the go-to guy, which is always a key to postseason success in basketball. You know, so, you know, teams like Providence, it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. Christian Academy. Losing their best two players, but they got a star in Bailey Conrad, a rising star. Really, we're going to have a really good junior class this year, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I think it's time to see which, you know, we kind of had a lack of talent in the junior class. Obviously, there are some exceptions. But it'll be interesting to see what they become as seniors. So, big summer. Big summer. You don't think about basketball in summer very often, but big summer here in Southern Indiana.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it some. If you know me, we're going to stay right on top of the basketball scene here in Southern Indiana in the month of June. We'll have all the coaches back and kind of get an off-season look at their team. We'll tell you about some of the summer league games and a lot more. So, Greg, thanks for being with us. Great to have you back in studio. Fun couple weeks coming up with baseball sectionals ahead of us. I know we'll have a lot of teams in the regional, and I hope that we have – a handful of teams in the semi-state, so it will be fun to follow out the close of the scholastic sports season with the close of baseball and softball coming up here in a few weeks.
And it all finishes with the Natsby Awards.
Absolutely, which we'll be talking about that soon.
Free admission.
A lot of fun, yep. All right, that wraps it up for today. This Wednesday show in the books. I'll be back with you on Thursday. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports for more IU basketball. Other guests as well, so stay with us for that. Glad to have you with us, and we'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.